You're listening to 1514, a podcast of the Biblical Counseling Coalition. 1514 draws its name from Romans 15:14, where the Apostle Paul encourages the church that they are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to counsel one another. I'm your host and the Executive Director of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, Curtis Solomon, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome to 1514. If you're joining us for the very first time, welcome. This is the podcast of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, where we exist to advance biblical counseling by fostering unity around the primacy of the Word of God in the care of souls. We're excited to have you as an audience member. If you're listening to us for the second, third, or 15th time, we appreciate your loyalty as well. Jump online wherever you get your podcast. Give us a review. Give us a star rating if they have stars there, thumbs up, thumbs down, whatever your platform uses, just to get the word out about the ministry so more people can find out about it and be blessed. Today, I have with me in studio, in person, my office neighbors, the Center for Biblical Living. So Tom and Robin Scott are with us. Tom, Robin, thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Could you go ahead and introduce yourselves to our audience and then tell us a little bit about what is the Center for Biblical Living?
So, yeah, Tom and Robin, we have three daughters, Brooklyn, who's 20, Kylie, who's 18, and Jaden, who's 14. And we've been in vocational ministry since 1997 in one way or another. Some of that has been 10 years of that, 9 years of that was in the local church, and then 13 years of that was with Campus Crusade, so crew, with Family Life in Little Rock, Arkansas. And then we've been here in Louisville, Kentucky, working alongside Southern since 2012.
That's great. And Robin, you have anything else to add?
Not that I can think of with that, regarding that.
Yeah. Well, good deal. Well, he got your kids' names correct.
He got it all
and
correct.
And the ages correct.
And that's, ages.
That's
yes.
Great. That's great.
We've been married.
Oh, yeah. We've been married for 24 years.
Yay. Congratulations. Yeah. Any big plans for 25?
Yeah, big plans. Just no way to pull it off.
Well, hopefully, maybe we can do something to help you out with that. So I know some counselors, at least. If something goes south, we can work something out.
Right. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Well, great. Well, thanks so much for joining me today on the podcast. I mentioned that we're office neighbors, and by that, for those of you who are listening, we are both housed at Southern Seminary, and our offices now, our intern space for the BCC is right next to the one of the offices you have on campus over in Rankin Hall. If you ever get a chance to visit Southern's campus, you can wander around and try to find us. And it's a real blessing to have gotten to know you guys the last couple years. Tom, primarily, we've had a few meals swapping ideas about counseling ministries, but also just bouncing counseling concerns off of one another. And it's always a blessing to have counselors nearby to say, what am I doing in this situation? Yep. But in your partnership with Southern, which has kind of morphed into what the Center for Biblical Living is, what does that ministry look like? What does that entail?
Yeah, so when we came in 2012, we were still on staff with Family Life. And we came here primarily to do marriage ministry on campus, Family Life's marriage and family ministry. There's 1,200 couples around Southern Seminary in any given year. And so we came here with that in mind. And then I jumped into the biblical counseling degree here at Southern, and that really helped shape more of what we end up doing now in providing more specific care, biblical counseling for married or singles through the Center for Biblical Living. And we started the Center for Biblical Living in 2017 to do that, to provide biblical counseling for really ministers of the gospel. So we want to minister the gospel to ministers of the gospel exclusively. So we're here at Southern. It's strategic to be here at Southern because there's a lot of pastors and missionaries that come and go from here that are associated with the school. And that's our main focus, is to provide care for those who typically are caring for other people but don't always have a place to go. So Southern is a kind of a proactive effort to care for seminary students in training for missions or for the pastorate before they get into you know, up to their necks in ministry. We want to try to come alongside them and help strengthen their marriage or prepare them in ways that the Lord would let us do that through the relationship with the school.
No, it's a really great vision to catch people, hopefully on the front end before they go out, and really help them address the issues of their soul. A lot of people have this presumption that people who go to seminary have it all figured out and they're all great and shiny and spotless and they're wonderful and they're just going to go change the world. And maybe even some of them have that view of themselves. Mm-hmm. But the reality is we're all sinners who are broken, hurting, suffering, sinning, and living in a fallen world. And for you guys to be here to help address some of those needs directly, really prepare their hearts for ministry and their lives more than, not that seminary classes are designed to just equip the head, but sometimes it can be pretty heady, cognitive, and not, hopefully it is life transformational, but not always. And you're there to help fill in those gaps. So what, I know some of the different things you do practically to help accomplish that here on the campus, but why don't you tell us some of those things that you actually do?
Yeah, so we meet with students. We're part of the Student Life Office, and we meet with students for student care, providing counseling and walking through past issues or current issues that students are walking through. And then we also provide an evening for marriages and for parenting, for parents to do, we call it date night in on campus, just providing some, like, here's some practical ways that you have to look out for your own marriage and practical ways you have to look out for your own children, even while you are being poured out everywhere else.
Yeah, no, that's really fantastic. And that's one of the things I've loved that you do is that date night in, because it, you provide childcare for people. They get a little bit of a day. I mean, I know early married, going to the grocery store alone is kind of like a date.
So that's right.
This is way beyond that. Yeah. And it's some equipping mixed into that as well. So that's a really great treat to kind of hit people broadly. And then the one-on-one counseling that you're providing to those students or to couples is also really phenomenal. With the, you say you're part of the student life, and for those maybe who aren't in an academic setting, those are the people who work directly with students, like resident directors, resident advisors, deans, other things like that. What's your role in that? Like, how do students go from, hey, I have a little bit of trouble, I'm talking to my RA, to talking to you all?
Yeah, so it's a unique setup and situation where we've actually contracted with Southern. So the Center for Biblical Living and Southern Seminary have a contract where we will provide so many sessions of student care throughout a year. And then as we do that, we most closely work with the Dean of Students here on campus. Excuse me. And so professors may be approached by students, and most professors don't have a lot of margin to come alongside students in their class, though many do. Mm-hmm. So those professionals then will let the Dean of Students know that there's a need, who then will let us know that there's a need. We've been on campus now for 7.5 years, so a lot of students already know that we're here. Mm-hmm. And we do a fair amount of promoting on campus too. So most students just come to us directly. Mm. They can access a student care request form on the Southern website, which comes directly to us, and then we take it from there and schedule time with them. So there's different ways that they get exposed to us. The school has been generous too to let us be a part of every new student orientation. Mm. So I get 5 or 10 minutes in front of all the new students every single year, just letting them know about student care and the Center for Biblical Living and what we do. And that generates a lot of traffic.
Yeah,
absolutely. Our office also.
Absolutely. No, that's good. It's great to be in a time where more people are open to the concept that, hey, getting counseling is not there's nothing shameful about it. The reality is we all need it. It's where are we going to get it, whether or not it's available, that kind of thing. So that's really great. And I know I don't know all the ins and outs administratively, but I know sometimes the benefit of having a contract with somebody else at the school. Some schools are just afraid of liability issues and counseling and that kind of thing. So your guys' ministry is able to come alongside and alleviate some of those concerns, but still make sure that good soul care is being provided on campus. So. Right.
Yeah, that's a big part of that is we function here for a while without a contract. And then we're, it kind of us and then administration was like, you know, probably should have a legal document describing what this partnership looks like. And that way we own the liability of it rather than the school. And primarily we want the students here to get care from their local church, which is a really big emphasis for us is that we're not here to usurp the local church or be a clinic off on the side. Mm-hmm. We work diligently with the pastors of the churches here in Louisville that students go to. Some churches are not equipped often. Maybe it's a single pastor model and they just don't have a lot of margin themselves. Maybe they're bivocational. And so we come alongside them as a help. Some churches do have a plurality of elders and they have a deep bench even on their elder board, but they still can't, for whatever reason, maybe not be able to manage all the need that is there. And so we help them with the students specifically that go that are at their church. And so that just allows us to, again, not necessarily, to be a para church. We want to partner with the local church as much as we possibly can and not usurp that. They still have submitted to that local authority, and we want to make sure that they understand that and see it even in our care of them underneath the influence of their pastors.
Yeah, no, and that's such an important element. Obviously, when we're talking biblical counseling, we believe that biblical care is tied to the local church. But the being in an academic setting where students are coming from literally all over the world to one campus, sometimes they're not even plugged into a local church yet, or maybe they're just new there and they don't maybe not feel comfortable. Or like you said, some of the churches just they're not equipped to handle that. And right or wrong, maybe sometimes even they're focused more on the people that they know will be there long term, which we could argue about that for a while. But this is a really great model to help supplement that the care that students would be getting either from their local church here in Louisville or their home church that sent them here. So,
Yeah, we often have even contacted churches back home for people and just kind of get a feel for where they've gotten help before and where we're headed from now.
Yeah, that's really great. What kind of response have you gotten from those churches back home when you've reached out?
Yeah, many of them are surprised that someone's even reaching back, and so that's we're glad for that. At the same time, sad by that. At the same time, a lot of churches have a competitive mindset, and like you know, if
what?
Yeah, right.
You know, I've never heard that before.
No, sure, you have that a lot in small towns or big towns. Like they're kind of competing with us. And so I think a lot of pastors, when we've contacted them, you know, if the student is from California or Georgia or wherever, and we've reached out to them to express care and want to help them, I think it's refreshing for them, you know, in a moment, where again, we're not trying to be the sole source of their help.
Yeah.
We want to partner with those churches. And again, many of these students are, when I ask them who their pastor is, they don't always give me their Louisville pastor. They give me the pastor from back home because that's who they automatically think of.
Yeah.
So because they're automatically thinking that way, I automatically want to think that way and honor that, even though they may have transferred their membership to a church here in Louisville or not. I want to work with both because they're influential in that person's life.
No, absolutely. If somebody grew up with in a church and then they're here for 2 years or 3 years, they're going to think primarily. No, that's really great. Now, as far as when you reach out, how has it been cooperating with the churches, the local churches here in Louisville? What's been the reception to the Center for Biblical Living?
Yeah, we've had a really great response holistically. I mean, we have a big scale of churches here. Yeah. Of ours in Louisville, Kentucky is unique. You know, there's more than a dozen churches probably represented at Southern, which doesn't, you know, for what, 2,000 students, doesn't sound like a lot of churches, but all those churches are just solid expositional preaching, good gospel-centered churches that then are made up in different ways. They're small, they're larger, they're multi-staff, they're not. I mean, it's just across the gamut. But we have had good response from those churches because most of them don't have the resources they need to care for everybody that has a need. So to be able to come alongside them, I've tried to meet with them individually. We've tried to have a meal together of some sort just to try to get to know one another. They can kind of interview me of sorts and I get to know them. And so being here as long as we have now, I'm regularly, one of the questions on our intake form is, you know, if I deem necessary, can I talk to your pastor and who is that? And so we make that known to the people that we're offering care to. And so I try to do that. I definitely try to reach out to their pastor. If I don't already know them, then I'll reach out to them. But if I do know them, then I'll inform the church that we are meeting with so-and-so from your body.
Yeah.
So that they're not surprised by that. But overall, churches have been very supportive of that, thankful for that. There's a lot of churches that have counseling ministries already set up in their local body. And so we don't have a lot of students from there because they have a place to go. Yeah. And when we do get a student from there, I'm like, hey, you need to go talk to Jim because Jim's the counseling guy at your church, you know, because a lot of times I know that more than they do.
Yeah.
Because they're new to the city.
Exactly what we were talking about before. They know less about their church than you do because they're brand new here. Right. So yeah, no, that's great. With, I know a big passion for most of us in biblical counseling is to replicate counselors, not just have lots of additional counseling going on. This is the dangerous thing of doing an interview I should never do, is ask a question you don't know the answer to. But do you, are you able to offer any training or replication like that through what you do with the Center for Biblical Living?
Not yet. I mean, we really do hope to be a source for that to happen. One of the complications of that is because we provide counseling to so many students, there's a little bit more legality to students overseeing, you know, counseling students. So we're trying to work out the details of those things. We would love to be able to have students in a biblical counseling program here at Southern ultimately receive some kind of credit or at least recognition for, you know, observing counseling through CBL. But yeah, we're just not quite there yet. We haven't worked out all the kinks of how that looks.
Well, the other thing too is being here is there is quite a bit of training in biblical counseling.
There is, right.
You have obviously undergrad, MA, MDiv, DMIN, PhD, all these actually going on Southern's campus, but then you also have other groups in town like 180 and others who are doing training in that. So that's good. I was just curious if that was something you offered or not.
One thing that we could do better is, and there are a number of churches that don't have a counselor and staff and they don't have a deep bench perhaps. Mm-hmm. And so it is kind of a single pastor just trying to survive and he wants to care for his people. And so we may do a lot of counseling for them. And to have him in the room would be optimal.
Absolutely.
And and yet his schedule's crazy. We're trying to help take a load off of him. And yet being more intentional about that, being more active at having the pastor come and be a part of it, not just letting him know we're counseling them, but actually having them in the room would be better.
Well, that's a good point too, is I know your primary focus is for the students here that are going to be going out into ministry in the future. But do you also offer counsel to people not from the seminary community?
Yeah, we right now it's a primary source of our time. But we do ultimately, as an organization, as we get bigger right now, it's just Robin and I doing the counseling. But as we add staff, counselors, we hope to provide counseling to pastors and missionaries wherever they are. So we're starting to do that. We, through technology, you can really be anywhere in the world. And so we're counseling some distant students. So students can be from anywhere in the world as well.
That's right,
so
yeah.
there's students all over the globe. And so we've had opportunities to, through, you know, video counseling, be able to counsel students, but also pastors and missionaries wherever they are. So if it's South America or Jordan or Romania or, you know, even Indiana, that's just 4 hours away, but it's not conducive for us to get up there or them to come down here. We do that because they don't have a source of wise counsel where they're at. Mm-hmm. So if we can video in and be that for them, then we're willing to, but ultimately we would hope they'd find it locally, but when they can't find it locally, then we'd love to be an option.
No, it's really helpful. It's been encouraging to see how much the biblical counseling movement has grown over the 50 plus years that it's been around. But when I step back and look at the broader church and honestly, our conferences are relatively small. If you look at all the organizations, the social media following is relatively small. There's still a lot of work to do. So it's helpful to have people like you and a lot of other ministries taking advantage of that, of technology.
Absolutely.
To bring care. So one of the things I mentioned training, and you don't necessarily have formal training classes, but the reality is that the majority of people in biblical counseling have probably come through it through the counseling doors themselves, where they were struggling, they got some help. What's your vision as far as that for the future? And have you seen fruit from, now that you've been here in this world for 7 years, seen fruit from that played out later down the road?
Yeah, probably the first way that we've seen that is through students that have come through our counseling doors who are, so he's here for an MDiv. Mm-hmm. And she may be working and kind of helping get him through that, or she's home with the kids. Or she may be a student here also getting her biblical counseling degree. But we've seen a lot of MDiv students who are here for the training to preach often also gain a large respect for the biblical counseling training because of their own need.
Yeah.
And so we would often have conversations with them. They may ask us a lot of questions like, hey, what do you think I should do to get more equipped for the counseling part of being a pastor or a missionary? And so we push them back to getting the training here at Southern. You know, they have one requirement for biblical counseling if you're in the MDiv track, but you know, I'm constantly pushing them to do more of those so that they're a better balance for that.
I've never met a pastor who said, I wish I had less counseling training.
Right.
Yeah, we get calls from guys even that have gone, who we know through the counseling doors, have gone out to be pastors and now are calling me back going, hey, what do I do in this situation? Because I just didn't get the training. Yeah.
Our own life experiences are what cause us to then be passionate about what we do. And so we find that, you know, if they come for counseling, then they're going to be passionate to help somebody else and to walk in the manner that's worthy that they've been called to as well, because they've experienced it. And so they've seen it. And that's true for us. We are passionate about what we do and about ministry marriages and ministry people in ministry and caring for those people because they don't have anywhere to go. And we experienced that, and we watched others, close friends, walk through that. And so that's the passion that drove starting the Center for Biblical Living.
Yeah. No, it's great because it does, once you've walked in ministry for a while, you realize, oh man, this is hard. Right. And depending on your expectations, your experience, the expectations of others, you might feel like you can't reach out for care, or where do I go for care? But if you've gotten it before, one, you've gotten it from somebody, so they can reach back, and you will eventually be overwhelmed with all those phone calls.
That's right.
But just encouraging them to do what they received, to turn around and minister the way in which they were ministered to. One of the other things I wanted to ask you about is I know Tom, we've talked about your passion, your vision would be to see similar ministries, whether they have the name Center for Biblical Living or not, pop up in other places, mm-hmm. because Southern Seminary and Boyce College are not the only ministry academic institutions in the world. Thankfully, there are many, many, many others. How could people, I know some of our audience are administrators or faculty at some of those other institutions, how could they get something going similar to this on their campus?
Well, I'd love to talk to them about that if that's an option. We do have a kind of a bigger vision of having CBL multiplied at different institutions that would be like-minded when it comes to biblical counseling. We don't know if the Lord's going to do that right now. We're here, but we would love the opportunity to talk to other administrators at other seminaries to see if there's a possible partnership there. But like I said, it's just Robin and I at this point. So yeah. We need counselors as part of that too. But if they have in their cities already biblical counseling organizations or people that they know that are trained, that are doing biblical counseling on a regular basis, look for ways to work together. Look for ways. Some of those may be formal, like we have a formal contract with Southern. You know, I think there's wisdom in having those formal contracts for legality purposes, but what are ways that you can work with the resources that you already have in your local city? What are ways that you can, is there a church in town that has a good, robust counseling ministry within the overarching ministry of the church? How can the seminary be connected and use that as a resource? So most seminaries don't see themselves as a care center. Like, right. You know, they're a training center. They are trying to train for ministry. So, and it's right that the church would be the care center and not the seminary. So how can those partnerships happen? And then where it's not ideal to have those partnerships, then there might be other parachurch organizations like CBL that you could partner with. So that's our hope. We've been very blessed to have this relationship with Southern. We didn't expect it to be as maybe smooth as what I meant as what it's been. So I mean, it's a big deal to partner together like that. As there is a lot of liability and a lot of risk to some degree to partner like this. We're a new organization with a couple clueless people trying to lead it, and yet this seminary that's been around for a long, long time and has has a great respect within Christendom, you know, was willing to partner with us and do what we're doing. So we're thankful for that, and that's been a real blessing. So yeah, there's resources available. Again, like you mentioned, over the last several years, the biblical counseling movement is beginning to spread more and more. Organizations like, you know, BCC has been a big part of that. And so we are, you get outside of yourselves sometimes and look for resources that are available that you feel comfortable partnering with.
So if people wanted to contact you, what's the best way for them to do that?
So we have a website. This is cbl.org. And you'd have almost all the information you need
there. You actually got that domain.
We actually did. Wow.
It wasn't available.
Some guy had bought it and didn't use it for anything. And our primary website was centerforbiblicalliving.org, which isn't horrible, but it's long.
Yeah, it's easier to do the initials.
I reached out to this guy, and he wanted a lot of money for it. And I said, how about this? And he laughed. And then I had a donor who just said...
We waited about 6 months.
We did.
And then we contacted him again.
I had a donor who said, hey, I'll pay this much, so offer and see what he'll do. And he took it. So we ended up with it. So it seems like a lot of effort for a URL, but it helps.
No, it does. Living in that world, it is helpful to have an easy to remember and easy to find. So people can reach out to you at cbl.org. And then, so if you're listening and you're thinking, how could I... I love this. I have a passion for it. A couple of things you might consider are, one, just if you're in the Louisville area, working with you all to connect you to churches or send you counselees if need be, reach out to you for training. If you have a passion for this type of work and you're around another training school, reaching out to you all to get information on how to start up something like that, maybe have a CBL branch in their their neck of the woods. But also, if you, I know for sure you guys are not running an organization off of the money you're getting from students.
Right. That is a true fact.
And like, I live in the nonprofit world. I'm raising money all the time. Mm-hmm. So if you guys, if you have a passion, if you're listening or you're watching this online and you think, man, I would really love to support that ministry, can they give to you on the website, or what's the best way for people to support?
Yep. There is a donate button on the website, and we do. We're predominantly a donor-based organization. We do charge, but our fees are minimal on purpose, because the ones that we're targeting don't have very deep pockets.
People don't come to seminary with a lot of money or to get a lot of money.
No, so. That's right. And they don't go into ministry.
Pastors and missionaries don't either.
They don't either. Yeah,
we're hoping to certainly, if the Lord moves you to give in a way, we'd be grateful for that. We're also looking to partner not only just with seminaries, but also church planning organizations and missionary organizations that sometimes don't have the resources they need to take care of the people that they oversee or launch.
Yeah.
Many of those organizations have their own kind of care ministry or care efforts. But you know, if there's a way for us to partner with them, to help them in some way, we would love to have that conversation and find out what the Lord might have.
That's great. So be sure, if you're checking online, cbl.org, find out a little bit more about Tom and Robin and the Center for Biblical Living. Well, we're up on as far as our interview time goes, but I saved the last couple minutes of our time together for a segment called 2 Minute Favorites. And audience, beware, I did not warn Tom and Robin about this. So let's see what happens. You guys ready for it?
Sure.
All right. Starting the timer. What is your favorite food?
It's lame, but I really do. I like pizza.
And I would say either Mediterranean or Mexican.
All right. What's your favorite color?
Gray. Isn't that horrible? I love gray.
I don't know if I have one.
Okay. What's your favorite candy?
Snicker bar.
Probably Reese's.
And what's your favorite word? These are getting harder.
Wow,
that is a hard one.
I have no idea. What do I use the most? Pass.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
All right. Favorite, we'll go maybe a little easier, but still deep. Favorite book of the Bible?
Yeah, I mean, I love Paul, but we've spent a lot of time in the last couple of years in Galatians. And so it's been a real help to me personally.
And I would say the Psalms.
All right. Favorite extra biblical book?
Oh, man. That implies that I read. Anything written by Jerry Bridges.
Okay.
Yeah. That's taken from me.
We both have a higher goal.
Trusting God is my favorite.
All right. Very good. If you had one superpower, what superpower would you choose?
When I was a kid, I used to dream about flying like Superman.
Yeah.
So that's probably it. I just think that would be really cool.
Wow. I don't know. I've never thought about that. I didn't dream of flying when I was a child.
Just a different stream, boys and girls.
There's one.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
All right. Well, our 2 minutes are up. Thanks so much for putting up with that segment, but also thanks so much for being here with us today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you for listening to this episode of 1514. If you'd like to know more about the ministry of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, you can visit our website at biblicalcounselingcoalition.org. You can also contact us at podcast@biblicalcc.org. Special thanks to Carrie Felton, our podcast producer, who arranges and coordinates these interviews, and James Wills, our podcast engineer, who does the sound editing and makes these episodes sound so great. I thank you for being with us again, and hope you can join us next time on 1514.